Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. It's once again, it's a beautiful time to gather, sing, worship. And I believe in the coming days, we all will come to a place like the apostles used to gather. The believers in the apostolic time, they had a gathering every day. Right? I believe just before the Lord will come, there will be an urgency, a time when all will gather and come to that state where we all worship God and we give ourselves to Him. Praise be to God. I know that each and every one, you're busy. Everybody has their own work. You have your jobs, children have their schools, parents have their responsibilities. But with all these pressures of the world, we should learn to stay in the presence of God. Amen. So, I will never ask sorry for preaching too long. I'm not going to say sorry for preaching too long. In fact, you people should apologize to me for going early. Because I'm called to preach. And I've come all the way 4,000 kilometers away to preach the word of God. You know, when you read the book of Acts, Acts chapter 20, Acts chapter 20, and the 9th verse. Yes, brother Zoel, you can read Acts chapter 20 and the 9th verse. Yeah, somebody can read. It's actually very funny, but there's something to learn from that.
And there sat in a window of a certain young man named Eutychus, being fallen into a deep sleep. And as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead.
And I think I'm not guilty of that. Paul has killed somebody by preaching long. So, I don't have to feel guilty about preaching long. When people want to get up and go, you have to go. But we'll be continuing our preaching. Hallelujah. So, fellowshipping is a time, I know that. This is a busy world. The devil has created this world so busy that he is doing his best to see the children of God don't spend more time in God's presence. So I think this young man was not born again. So Paul preached in such a way that he killed the man and then he prayed for him and he rose back to life again. If you read the 10th verse. And Paul went down and fell on him and embracing him and said, "Trouble not yourself, for his life is in him." Somebody falls from the first floor, listening to the preaching. Paul preached for long hours. This boy became very tired. So Paul preached in such a way, the old man, he killed the old man. And the new... Paul preached in such a way, he killed the old man and a new man came back to life. So that is why, this is a third story, right? He fell from... Now, you have certain different translations. I was going on and I felt really funny. being It says, the young man sitting by the window, overpowered by deep sleep, as Paul talked on longer. And there is another translation which says, was sinking into a deep sleep as Paul talked on and on. What does it say? He talked on and on. He went on talking. He did not stop. All through eternity we have to, if you have to go to be with the Lord, you will have to sacrifice your time. Don't expect we ministers to sacrifice our time. We have already sacrificed our time. We have sacrificed our life. We have sacrificed everything. Left everything. We all had our own business. We all had our own lives. You know. But I had to leave everything just to follow the Lord. So I will not apologize for preaching long. You people owe an apology to me. Because you said you are busy. You have work. You have to go. Right? And I hope I receive my apology soon. Praise be to God. So let's, you know, sometimes feel God is very cruel. But then God's expectation is more. Since He loves us more, He is expecting more from us. You know, I think somewhere, I'm not able to remember the exact scripture, where the Lord gives more, He expects more. Right? So, this church has been blessed with so much of revelation. The church has been blessed with so much of truth. And there was one man who has come and labored here, worked with you, worked for you people, so much so. This church should have more fruit. You know, by the grace of God, I have preached for 3.5 hours, 4 hours, continually. And people, without moving, they have sat. We have faced such things in India. That is why I always choose to go to certain villages, to some places where people are not so busy. You know, where you can pour out your heart and you can preach, and there will be people sitting. Some will be sleeping, but even in their sleepy time, they say, Amen, Hallelujah. You know, that's the kind of thing we all need to have. Praise be to God. So, I thank the Lord for His grace and mercy. Now, you know, when you go to the book of Joel, chapter 2, though this is not my message, but I just want to show something. When we all go to the book of Joel, chapter 2, and 12th verse, now 12 to 16, 17, 18. Yeah, you can read from 12 to 18. Yes, brother.
Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God. For He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, and leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God. Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify a fast, call a solemn assembly, gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children, and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine heritage to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God? Then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people.
Look at the condition. The children of Israel, how the Lord told them to go for fasting, break, it says, blow the trumpet, the 15th, blow the trumpet. Now, blowing the trumpet is what to? It is to bring the warning messages. That is blowing the trumpet. You need to blow. The ministers of God have to blow the trumpet. Show the people the time and season. And sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children. Till here is okay. But then he says, and those that suck the breast, let the bridegroom go forth of his chamber and the bride out of her closet. Oh my. Even the baby which is nursing in the mother's breast should be stopped. He's our God cruel. What is he trying to say? The Lord is trying to say, without me, nobody can live. You know? You see, in Old Testament, Joel has given an instruction. This is the way. Look at the priests, the ministers, the elders. It's time that you sit down here in the church, cry out. It's not just one man's work. It's not just the duty of the pastor. It's not just the duty of a few people. Everybody have to come, cry. Because this is the time. That is why the Lord says, if you do this, then will the Lord be jealous for his land and pity his people. See? When ministry is facing hard times, then it means people need to give more time for God. You need to ask God, Lord, I'm caught up in this work. I'm caught up with the schedule, this busy schedule. What should I do? Help me. Then I will give more time to you. Sometimes you need to sleep, sacrifice your sleep. There are times I and my wife, we finish our ministry. At least now we have a comfortable car by the grace of God. But we used to go by, I had only second-hand bikes. And sometimes the tires get punctured on the way, you know. Somewhere, you know, where it'll be like, you know, jungle. And I don't know what to do. And I and my wife have to push a bike for 5 kilometers. I have to come. And then when I come to a little area where there are lights, where there are people, then we find a place where we can put the, you know, puncture. And then we go home. So many times it has happened. We'll be so tired. And about 12:30, I go to sleep. 2 o'clock, the Lord wakes us up. Pray. And then at the same time, my wife will get up. I said, why did you get up? She said, I don't know. I heard a voice to pray. And we will start praying till morning, till 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. You know, our lives, we should give more time for the Lord. Don't say, I am busy, and tell the Lord to stop his work. You have to give your time for God. You have to sacrifice your time for God. God is the most important part in your life. Then your work, then your career, then you're making money and everything. We have to come. Now we are living in the time of the Lord's coming. Why will Jesus say, watch and pray always? This scripture was spoken 2,000 years back, but now it should have a big effect on the bride of Christ. This is the time. See? And again, so I thank God, I believe in the coming days, day by day, we are improving. Yes, we know. We are not the same person what we were 10 or 20 years back. You see, as the days are going more, we are learning more of truth. We are learning to be in the presence of God. We stay in the presence of God. That is why, you know, the Lord said one word. He said, can't you pray with me for at least 1 hour? Why did he say that? Because once you come to his presence and sit for 1 hour, I tell you, and I promise you this, 1 hour will become 2 hours, 2 hours will become 3 hours. You will not want to get up. But if you are not going to fulfill that, even that 1 hour, then it means there's something really wrong in your spiritual life. You need to go back. What is going back to the first love? Jesus said, go back to the first love. You know, in the book of Ephesians, it's mentioned, go back to the first love. What is the first love? They all learn to stay in the presence of God. The pastor of the church in Jerusalem was James, the brother of Jesus. Not the disciple James, but the brother of Jesus. And it's recorded in the Christian history that he used to pray for 5 hours every day. He was a man of prayer. There were other ministers, Peter, John, and the disciple of Jesus, James, and the other apostles. They were on the move. And this one man was holding all of them in prayer for 5 hours per day. You cannot say, oh, I'm too busy. So Lord, shorten the time. No. You cannot say that to the Lord. We have to give time to God. Some people say, I don't have time. You live in time and you say you don't have time. That's a lie. We are living in time and then we say, I don't have time. But you are living in time. You have time for everything of the world, but you have very less time for the Lord. So I believe in the coming days, we all need to give more time. More of night prayers should be conducted. More of fasting prayers should be conducted. So those are the times you come and the brothers should preach like Paul. He went on and on and on without full stop. This is the time to hear. This is the time to preach. This is the time to bring out the full, complete revelation. The truth, the complete will of God should be given to the church. So I believe that is the place that we all have to go. Hallelujah. We need to give time to God. Without time, you know, there was one man who used to run. My father-in-law was a very spiritual man, you know. Even in the time when he was about to die, early in the morning, he'll get up with so much of pain and everything. He will read his scriptures, pray. You know, we used to watch that. We even asked him, how could you ever do this, such a thing? So, his younger brother had come to meet him one day. They came to know that he's going to die soon. So, the younger brother was arguing. He said, see, I'm working so hard because my father-in-law, if he finds some of unbelievers coming, he'll immediately start to share about Jesus Christ. So this year, his younger brother, he said, I'm working so hard. I have worked so hard all my life. I have earned money where God has blessed me. So my father-in-law said, if you don't have air, will you be able to work? If you don't, you work all through your years, all through the month you work. And if there is no fruit from the land, what will you eat? You'll eat your money? You work so hard and when you're thirsty, you drink water. Who created water? God created the water. So we need to give time for God first. That is a sacrifice that you're doing. Every one of us have to sacrifice something. What sacrifice we have done for the Lord? Let everybody today sit down and look into yourselves. What sacrifice you have done? You may say, oh, I've supported the ministry. You see, supporting the ministry is not a big sacrifice. It's a common thing we all have to do. You people give your tithes. I give my tithes to other ministers. You people give offerings, supporting some ministries. Whatever comes to my hand, we are also supporting ministries in India. This is a common thing we all have to give. That is not a big sacrifice. Sacrifice is what? You sacrifice every other thing to go and spend in the presence of God. Amen. Give time to God. Amen. Speak to God. Be with Him. Stay with Him. Long hours of prayer. Amen. Sometimes we pray, but nobody has ever thought of, you know, you pray, you send your supplications. And then you say, you know, in Tamil we say, Atmave Kartare Stotri. You know, what is that? Bless the Lord, O my soul. Psalm 103. You know, after every prayer, we say that some three or four scriptures, verses. And we finish our prayer by saying, Amen. Now the question is, you have been talking to God for a long time. Now don't you think God has to speak back to you? Huh? We sit down, we pray, and we say, Amen, Lord, and we just walk off. Hey, God is saying, you are talking to me, man. Now I should speak back to you. So it means waiting. That is what David called as waiting in the presence of God. So prayer is not just you just send your supplication. You say, oh Lord, thank you, bye. Answer me, as the God is some, you know, our servant, and we command him and he has to just listen to us. We need to wait quietly. Just wait. In the waiting season, waiting period, you read some scriptures. Just be quiet. Meditate on the words. Keep asking God. Until you receive an answer from God, don't move out from the presence of God. These are the things we all have to learn. These are the things will bring more spiritual blessings in our lives. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. So I believe God will, we are growing and we will grow very soon. We are like the bamboo. That's why I tell my church people, sometimes my church people also get very, some of the believers get very upset. Pastor, why is our ministry not like the denomination? Denomination people, yesterday I met a Pentecostal pastor. You know, he's from my city, Coimbatore. So I just went, actually he's a brother-in-law of my classmate, one sister by the name of Rajeshwari. So she told me a few months back, my brother-in-law is a pastor in Singapore in a church. I don't know what it is. You people have different groups. So he's serving as a pastor, so you please meet him. So I actually wanted to go and meet him because I'm thinking maybe in future if I get a chance, I will try to go and testify there. So yesterday we got a chance. We had gone to Mustafa, and after that, we met him there near Mustafa. And I was having some talks to him. He said, I started the ministry... 1.5 years back, he started as a full-time minister. He was working in Singapore. Now he got a citizenship. Now he's purchased a house. Just 1.5 years back, he started ministry. He said, how many people are there? Say about 100, 120 people are coming. Just 1 year. But people like us, we keep working and working and working and working to bring one soul. It takes a long time. So sometimes even my people, you know, they feel, because wherever I go to work, see, I've gone to nearly 25 states in India. Every place we have established ministry. But sometimes, in some places, we are not able to. It takes a long time. So I gave them an example of a bamboo tree. You know, bamboo never grows from the time it's planted. It never grows even an inch or centimeter for 5 years. 5 years the bamboo will be as it is. Sometimes people who don't know what plant world, they'll think, what is this? And it will be of no use. Nothing, you will not see anything in that. No fruit, nothing, just the stem remains. After 5 years, suddenly it grows so high. Taller than all the trees. Why? What happened in the 5 years? The 5 years, the roots of the bamboo become very strong. They grow below the earth. Once the roots are strong, then it comes up. I think that is the kind of work which God is doing in us. For so many years, the Lord is saying that our roots are becoming stronger and stronger in Christ. But before the coming of Jesus Christ, our eyes will see the harvest. We will see the harvest, and no doubt about it. But for us to go there, all of us who know the truth have to spend more time with God in the presence of God. May God bless you all. Now let's go to our main message. Psalms, I would like to speak from Psalms 91. Psalms 91. Brother, you can read the whole psalm, but I may not be able to explain the psalm, but whatever best I could explain, I can explain from that. Psalm 91. The full psalm from the first verse to the 16th verse.
He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder, the young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Amen. Praise be to God. Now this psalm is generally believed to be the psalm of Moses, though the psalm doesn't have a title. But we have a title in the 90th psalm, which says a prayer of Moses, the man of God. And from the 90th psalm till the psalm 100, you will not find titles. There will be no titles. So it is generally believed from 90 to 100, all these psalms, they belong to Moses. So 91st psalm, because Moses has been using a lot of this 91 psalm has been using the way it is written from 90 to 100. It's showing more words of Deuteronomy, Numbers, and whatever you find in that, you find in these kind of psalms. So that is why they believe the psalm is written by Moses. Okay, now, the psalm is divided in different places. I told you that I will not be able to complete it, but we'll just see something. Like Psalm 91 is the 1 to 2 is the condition or the state of the godly. Psalm 1 and 2 is the state of the godly. From 3 to 8, it is speaking about their safety. Okay? And from 9 to 10, it's speaking about their habitation or the place where they are supposed to stay. And from 11 to 13, it is speaking about their servants. And 91, 14 to 16, is like their friend with the effects of them all. It is like, God is treating them like a friend. So, this psalm is a special psalm. This psalm is a special psalm. Every time when there is trouble in our lives, there are a few psalms that I always tell people to read. Now, I was telling you about the testimony when I went to Philippines. I told you about the testimony of we went to a house. We prayed for a sister whose two kidneys are gone, right? You remember? Yes. And then I told you after I shared the truth. I spoke from Psalms 23, Psalms 91, and Psalms 121. Whenever somebody is sick and going to die, mostly if I'm called to their home, I speak from Psalm 23 to 121 and 91. Because this psalm, all these three psalm is like, it is like a refuge for a man who's dying. So I went, I shared something from this psalm, from chapter 23, 91 and 121. And after that, I prayed for that sister. And as I left that house, we went and sat inside the tricycle, the Philippines tricycle, you know. You have to bend yourself and go inside. And after sitting in the tricycle, something happened inside. And that was told to us the next day. They said, that pastor who came and the brother Bonbon was with me and another brother Edwin and one of the sisters from brother Bonbon's church. Four of us were there. We just left. We got inside our tricycle. Now something happens inside the house. Suddenly in that place, there is a kind of wind inside the house. There is a breeze inside the house. And this breeze, it was so hot. And their fans were not running well. So, you know, I was really sweating and preaching, sharing. But they are saying there was a kind of wind, there was a kind of breeze. And it was like AC. After that, it was there for nearly 5 minutes. Then there was a great peace in their heart. From the next day, now last time when I told you, they believe it was, I told you that it was the wind of the Holy Ghost. Then I mentioned, I don't know what has happened to the sister, whether she's healed or not. Now, 3-4 days back, I received a message from Brother Edwin's wife, Sister Dorothy. She said, Pastor, from the next day, that sister stopped having her tablets. And till today, she's walking normally and doing her duty. She has not gone to the hospital, not taken medicine. Nearly 1 month is gone. Both her kidneys were gone and she was in such a bad condition. She was nearing death. But you say, there is power. When we read the scriptures, these scriptures are not written for something. There is power. When you believe in God's word, there is power. So I told that sister, now to go and take a small video of that sister. I said, tell her to share her testimony with her own mouth and send it so that it will be helpful. You know, it will edify the church. So we have seen a lot of healings in the past. And all the people who are healed, I had to explain to them that they have to come to this most secret place. The secret place of the Almighty. And Moses knew about the secret place. Because Moses has been to that secret place. God has met him. The Lord called him to the rock. He said, come up. And when Moses went up, the Lord showed him his back. The Lord passed away. And the Lord shows him his back. And what? Why did the Lord show him his back? Because he showed him the stripes. Hallelujah. Which is written in Psalms 53, Isaiah 53. By his stripes, we are healed. And that is why the Lord had to show the back. He showed him Moses the back. But Moses did not see the face. And God has revealed the face to us. Hallelujah. And that is why Moses is telling, Lord, you are a God full of mercy. So please, reveal yourself to this generation. But the Lord said, on whom I will have mercy, I will have mercy. It is not your work to tell me to whom I should have mercy. Now I have had no mercy on you, Moses. You may go. So this is a secret place, a secret chamber where Moses used to go. Many times when you read the book of Deuteronomy, Exodus, we will see God called him specially to the mountain where only Moses went to be with God. That is why among the believers, everybody don't go to the secret place. Most of them are staying in the outer court. Outer court, there was a vessel kept in the tabernacle, the vessel of water which speaks about baptism. And then you find the altar where the sheep and lamb is sacrificed and then it is burnt and given as an offering. So that is speaking about the Christ sacrifice. So most of them are baptized, receive forgiveness from Christ, but they don't go into the inner sanctuary, to the most holy place, to that secret place, to that dwelling place where you behold the presence of God. It is occasionally you may go in times of trouble. When you have some financial trouble, yes, you may go and seek the Lord and say, Lord, do something for me. When you have some sickness, yes, you may be praying to God. When you have some trouble in your life, something is happening in your family, some problems in your family, you may all want to visit the secret place. But here, Moses is speaking about somebody. Moses, this is the general truth, is he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty, is the general truth. But now Moses is saying, I will say of the Lord. He's making the general truth a personal truth now. The first scripture is a general truth. Something about who God is. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This is general for everyone. But then Moses is saying, I will say of the Lord. He is my refuge. See? Moses is trying to personalize. He's bringing a personal relationship with God by saying, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Joining as a church, praying together is good. Having fellowship is good. Having a common fasting prayer where all the members of the body will join and pray is a good thing. We join and come to a whole night service. We need to do that. That's a good thing. We need to have very, very often we need to gather and have communion. Very often we need to gather and have fellowship. It's all a good thing. But there is something an individual should know to learn to trust God in the secret place. A place where there is nobody else around you, but there is only God before you. This is the kind of experience Moses is speaking about. My brothers and sisters, what kind of experience do you have? Do you go to that secret place? Do you visit that secret place? It is not just visiting that secret place, but it is dwelling in that secret place. That you are always there in the secret place. Always the rock. The ever-present rock is always before you. The presence of God is always before you. The face of Jesus Christ is always before you. Are we trusting God? When we go together, there is always like, you know, every time when my wife was coming to Singapore, she said, oh, all these years I've been, you know, so much depending on you, now I'm to come alone. I'm really scared. Because all these years of 18 years of marriage, we have traveled together. In 25 states, which I've gone nearly, she has come with me for 18 states, she has traveled along with me. So she was telling, I'm feeling afraid to travel alone. You see, because I was depending on you. Then I told, now you don't depend on me, depend on God. The ever-present rock, He is there. I may not be, I will be here today, tomorrow, I may not be there. But there is somebody who is always with us. Hallelujah. So as we move together with the church, holding each other's hand, I know that everybody will have a certain amount of faith. But when everything is left out and you stand alone on a mountain top, that is where you really have to trust in God. That is the place where we have to completely believe in God. Our lives are alone. There is nobody to comfort us. Don't need to worry. There's nobody to talk for us. No need to worry. You need to put your trust in God. That is why He says, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Hallelujah. You don't trust prophetic revelation, but you trust the God whom prophetic revelation had preached all these years. You got it, what I'm trying to say? We don't trust Rhema like ministry, but the God whom we are preaching. Because today I'll be there. Tomorrow I may not be there. Our dear brother Gan, who was like a mountain, standing when brother Gan was there. Oh, everything seems to be, oh fine, he's there. There's nothing to worry. He will handle the pressures. But he's gone. Now who do you trust now? We need to trust God. The followers of Brother Brennan, they had so much of trust in Brother Brennan. Trusted him so much, they came to a place where they even believed that he will not die, but he's going to take people in the rapture. But he had to go. His work was over. He finished his work and he was gone. And they even believed when Brother Brennan's body was getting, they were preparing to bury it. They believed, his own son believed, that Brennan will rise up on the third day. You see, then imagine what kind of trust they had, they put on men. We don't put our trust in men. We respect the men of God, we give them honor for the work which God has done through them. We obey them according to the word which they have preached to us from the scriptures. But we don't put our trust in men. We put our trust in God. We need to completely trust only in God. That is why the general truth that he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. This truth became a personal truth for Moses. And he's telling each and everyone, you need to trust in God. When Moses went up to the mountain 40 days, he was fasting, he was all alone. Yes, Joshua went with him but had to stay far away. And there was a man just alone with God under the shadow of the wings of the Almighty. Oh, what a presence it must have been. What a wonderful time he must have had. Moses fasted 40 days he fasted twice. What strength he must have had from the Lord. That is where the scripture tells us, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. By the word of God. You know, there are certain rocks, when you break those rocks, in India, I don't know the name in English, but the frog, Thera Nzuluwanga, brother, Thera. Yeah, that, it's a kind of frog which you'll find inside the rocks. You break the rocks and these frogs will be like flat, you know, small ones. And they can jump in to cover, you know, from this place, from the table to go to that door, I think with three jumps it can move. They are so fast. But where are they? They are inside the rocks. And how are they surviving? Who's feeding them? Who's giving them life? You see, there, inside the rock, there is a secret life. It is given by God. Hallelujah. So if you think you are alone, we are not alone. If God is with us, then we are not alone. Praise be to God. So he's saying, I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God, in Him will I trust. Praise be to God. We need this special relationship with the Almighty. This is the time, this is a kind of special relationship like these three disciples went with Jesus upon the high mountain. There were 12 disciples. What were the others doing? Why didn't Jesus take them? Because the Lord saw the desire of their heart. The Lord saw that they always wanted to be with Jesus. They never wanted to go out from the presence of Jesus. It is the same Peter who told, Lord, get away from me, I'm a sinner. But now this Peter is going along with the Lord to the high mountain experience. In that most secret place. In that place, that is a place where we come to personally experience the power of God in our lives. That is a place where we get connected with the Spirit of God. That is a place where the Lord becomes your covering in such a way that no world, no pollution of the world can ever touch you. Oh, I pray that all of us will go to that place. All of us will go to that place, 100%, not 10%, not 20%, 100%. We are dwelling in that secret place of the Almighty. Now, we will go to the book of Luke, chapter 2 and 36. Yes, brother, you can read it. The book of Luke, chapter 2, 36 and 37.
And there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel, of the tribe of Asher. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. And she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day.
Praise be to God. Look at this widow, Anna. She was dwelling in the most, in the secret place of the Most High. The Bible introduces us Anna the prophetess. She was of a great age and had lived with an husband 7 years from her virginity. She only lived 7 years with her husband. She was a widow. And now it says, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. How many of you want to come to this great experience? Where you don't depart from the presence of God. I think this is the highest form of maturity, of faith. This is the highest order. There is no more high order than to just stay with the presence of God always. I know that it's very difficult. When you're having so much of work, you have so much of other things to do in the world. How can I pray day and night? What I believe is, in spite of your work, everybody is not called like Anna. I know that. Everybody is not called for full-time ministry. Full-time ministry is not easy, my brothers. I find it so difficult sometimes. Because it's a great responsibility. I'm so scared. I'm afraid. It's a very big responsibility. It's not easy. But to live everything and just to go and serve God and stay in His presence, finding the will of God, praying to God, getting the right instruction from the Spirit, being sensitive to the Spirit, discerning the perfect will of God, and then to come and preach it out in the church. It's a very big responsibility. But we cannot just because of a otherworldly schedule that we have, we cannot say, I don't have time. God is showing us what it is to be in the presence of the Almighty. There was a sister, there was a mother, a widow, who stayed in the presence of God night and day with fastings. You know why she was fasting? Because she wanted to keep her flesh in proper order. Being a widow, she had to overcome all her emotions. Being a widow, she had to keep herself holy, keep this body holy. So she was there in the temple of God, praying night and day. And that's why God is calling that sister a prophetess. If somebody, some sister wants to call themselves a prophetess, then let me ask you, are you praying night and day before God? Are you always staying in the presence of God? Have you sacrificed all your flesh and you just decided to go and stay before this, before His presence in that secret chamber? Hallelujah. Look at this. What does it mean to be in the secret chamber? That you are dependent always on God. For even a small thing in your life, a small decision, you go before God and ask Him His will. Hallelujah. That is what it means by going to the presence of God. Now, we see one more person in the book of Acts chapter 9. From the 11th verse, brother.
And the Lord said unto him, arise and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth.
What a word! What a testimony the Lord is giving. Now a man who was against God, a man who was against the truth, a man who was against Jesus, now the Spirit of the Lord is speaking and giving a testimony. You go there to the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth. What a testimony. What a testimony. The Spirit of God is giving a testimony about Paul. He prayeth. It means the Lord is saying, he is before my throne. He is before my altar. He is in the secret chamber. Praise be to God. This man was a man of prayer. Great men of God who have done great things for God were men of prayer. Some of the men of God cannot share their burden with other people. There are times have come when I cannot share my burden to anybody else. Even to my wife. Sometimes I tell her, you will not understand this burden. It's some great burden which comes and which draws me to the presence of God. Where I sit down and pray. And when I start to pray, that's when the burden is released. We need to be. So what is being in the presence? What does it mean by coming to the secret place of the Almighty? It means this man, Paul, the Saul, he prayeth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Not only praying, now when we see in the second verse it says, I will say. It means here he has to make a word of confession. You make a word of confession that God, you are dwelling in the secret place of the Most High. God is expecting us to confess. That is what the psalmist Moses is trying to tell us. I will say of the Lord that He is my refuge. See? We need to make an open confession. We need to make an open statement. Even when you are fighting a battle with the devil, we all have to make a confession. We not only speak to God, you also have to speak back to the devil. Jesus spoke back to the devil. It is not wrong to speak to the devil, but it is wrong to speak to the devil about the devilish things. But it is not wrong to speak to the devil when you attack him. Hallelujah. Now this confession, when you start to make a confession, the confession, there is a power to take you to that secret place. Now, for example, let's see the book of Revelation. The book of Revelation, chapter 12. From the 7th verse to the 11th verse.
And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, Now is come salvation and strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives unto the death.
We are living, thank you, brother, we are living in a time of war. Though we know this incident, Michael and his angel, this period of time is going to be in the time when Israel is going to have a great time of tribulation. And we believe this incident is going to literally happen at the time. But that doesn't mean there is no warfare now. It is already happening. But the final battle where devil will be completely destroyed will be in the time of great tribulation, when Michael and his angels are going to fight the war and send the devil and his army down. But now the war is already going on. We are all part of this war. Now to go to this war, I believe, in this time of war, Psalms 91 is the best thing to trust in God. Now, it says, when brother read it, 12, okay. The 10th verse says, 9th verse, and the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil, and Satan which deceived the whole world, he was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come strength and salvation and strength and kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. Satan is an accuser of the brethren. What do you think he's doing? Day and night he's accusing you. Do you think he's accusing you before God? He's telling God some lies about you? No. The devil knows all the mistakes that you are committing on this earth. Because he is the one who tempts you to do the mistakes. So once you commit a mistake, then he goes up. It is not that he goes as a person, but his voice is heard. He tells God, see? He says he's your... Imagine, he would have even spoken to this in Garden of Gethsemane. Hey, Jesus, you're praying for these three fellows. Look at them, they're sleeping. And you're praying for them. You're shedding blood for them. Do you really think these guys are what? This is the kind of accusation he brings. When you make a mistake, the devil's accusation, his voice goes before God. The devil cannot lie to God. He may be father of lies to the earth, to the nations, to the world. But he cannot lie before God. Even the father of lies should speak the truth before God. Hallelujah. That's why when the Lord asked Satan, where are you coming from? Lord, I've been going to and fro on this earth. He had to speak the truth. The Father of light cannot lie to the all-knowing, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent God. So what kind of accusation is bringing? He's bringing the accusations which you have done in deeds, in actions, in thoughts, in words. But then he is cast out. He's brought down. He's destroyed. He's put to shame. How? By the blood of Jesus and the word of testimony. When we, the word, that is why it says, look at this, 12th verse and the 12th chapter and the 11th verse. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. The blood of the Lamb is the secret place. That is the place for us to go and hide. You may make a mistake, but hide in Christ. Confess to Him. You need to say, Lord, you're angry with me. Let me fall in your presence. You hit me. You chastise me. You beat me. Whatever you want to do, you do. But don't hand over me to devil. Hallelujah. I don't want to go to that person. So that is the reason we are running to the presence of God. As human beings, you are learning. We are in a learning process. God has to deal with us. God is not finished with us yet. Hallelujah. We are not yet a finished product. We are in a process. We are in a process of moving into that most holy life. And that is the reason the confession, the word of the testimony is powerful. What do you say with your word? I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge, my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. You can talk back to the devil and say, I have hope in Christ. What do you have? Hallelujah. I have hope in Christ. When you make a mistake, run to that place, the secret place, inside that holy chamber of God. And that is a place where God covers us, where the Lord embraces us. That is a place where God, His love is revealed to us. Praise be to God. We'll see one more scripture, because I need to finish by 9. Let's go to Exodus chapter 25. One or two scriptures we'll see. Exodus chapter 25. And the 10th verse. 10 and 11.
And they shall make an ark of shittim wood.
Ah.
2 cubits and a half shall be the length thereof.
Okay.
And a cubit and a half, the breadth thereof.
Okay.
And a cubit and a half, the height thereof. And thou shalt overlay it with pure gold.
Ah.
Within and without shalt thou overlay it. And thou shalt make upon it a crown of gold round about.
Okay. Now, thank you, brother. You make an ark of shittim wood. Now, the ark of the covenant in the tabernacle, there are two things which Bible tells us the most holy. One is the altar, which is in the outer court, is called as the most holy. And then, in the inside of the tent, the last place is called as the most holy, where the Ark of the Covenant is kept. Now it is made out of shittim wood. Why did they choose it? Now this wood is durable. It is known for its strength, resistance to decay. This wood is very special. It has a resistance to decay. So the Lord told, make an ark from a shittim wood and then overlay it with gold in and out. Now this ark, and then let's go to a little more, one more scripture. Exodus 25:22. And I will meet you there, and I will speak to you from above the cover, from between the two cherubim that are on the ark of the testimony. All that I will give you in command for the sons of Israel. Now, the ark should be made with shittim wood, overlaid with gold, and on top of the ark, where the two angels are, you see, the two cherubim facing each other. Below that, that place was called as the mercy seat. And then from there, I will speak to you. So when we say Psalms 91:1, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide in the shadow of the Almighty. God is calling us to come directly into the most holy place. Hallelujah. The altar is considered to be most holy, which is in the outer court. And it says, from the altar, whatever sacrifice has been done, the altar, whatever it touches, it becomes holy. So in our first experience, we come to the altar, which is cross, where Jesus died. When you come to Jesus, the most holy altar, our lives are sanctified. Now with covered by the blood, we enter the most holy place. Praise the Lord. And in this most holy place is kept the cherubims and the ark. And on top, the seat of the ark. Inside it is wood, and outside it is overlaid with gold. Now, wood is speaking about the humanity of Christ. And the gold is speaking about the divinity of God. Hallelujah. In human flesh, the divine was revealed. See? In human flesh, that divine, like the shittim wood which was capable of resistance, all the burden, all the suffering, all the problem which came to Jesus, all the pain that he had to suffer, he was a durable shittim wood. Hallelujah. He carried all that on the cross, all the pain. That is why that was typology of Christ. And overlaying with gold is speaking about the divinity of God. In the humanity of Jesus, the divinity of God was revealed. And that is the place where God will speak. And that is the secret place of the Most High. And that is the way. It means what God is telling us. Come face to face before me. You always don't need to. We ministers are here to preach to you. To give you a call. To come to that most holy place. After listening to the message. When you go to your homes, when you are alone, you meet, go to that secret place to see the Father's face. God has invited all of us. I believe if you are part of the bride, then our duty is to sit before the Father, sit before His presence in that holy place. This ark is the power of God. That is why the children of Israel, when in Samuel book you see, when they were carrying the Ark of Covenant, Dagon fell before the Ark, right? We can read the scripture if you want to. 1 Samuel chapter 4, 1 to 11. Yes, brother. Fast, we still have 5 minutes. 1 Samuel chapter 4, 1 to 11. 1 Samuel.
And the last word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out against the Philistines to battle, and pitched beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines pitched in Aphek. And the Philistines put themselves in array against Israel, and when they joined battle, Israel was smitten before the Philistines, and they slew of the army in the field about 4,000 men. And when the people were come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, "Wherefore hath the Lord smitten us today before the Philistines? Let us fetch the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of Shiloh unto us, that when it cometh among us, it may save us out of the hand of our enemies." So the people sent to Shiloh, that they might bring from thence the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of Hosts, which dwelleth between the cherubims, and the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God. And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted with a great shout, so that the earth rang again. And when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews?" And they understood that the Ark of the Lord was come into the camp. And the Philistines were afraid, for they said, "God is come into the camp." And when they said, "Woe unto us, for there have not been such a thing heretofore. Woe unto us, who shall deliver us out of the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods that smote the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Be strong and quit yourselves like men, O ye Philistines, that ye be not servants unto the Hebrews, as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight." And the Philistines fought.
Okay, brother, we stop here. What I wanted to show is the Ark of God was considered to be such a big power, even the Philistines, the enemies, were afraid. See? Because the Ark of the God, it is like when the Ark was coming, the Philistines knew, oh, now it's gone. So, what I'm trying to tell you today, for us, there is a warfare going on in heaven. A big battle going on in heaven. And that is what is bringing the struggle in our lives. Troubles in our lives. Temptations in our lives. But if, like Moses said, we all will go and sit before, inside the secret place of the Most High, where God will come and talk to us face to face, I believe no enemies can stand before us. The bride will overcome. This is what the Lord told me in Bihar. When I was in Bihar, after finishing my preaching that morning, my sister was healed from a hip problem. The news went to the outside people, the anti-Christian groups. They came to check on us. They were searching for me, and I was inside the room. The pastor had to lock me up. He locked the room and he took the keys and he went away. He said, "Until we come back, please don't call, don't do anything, just stay." All that I could do is I and my translator, we were praying. And the Lord gave me the word, "The bride shall overcome." And exactly like that, you know, those men were not able to find us, trace us, or do anything harm to us. Blessed be the name of God. We have to put our hearts, our soul, our trust. There are many things to be spoken from this psalm. But all that I want to say is the secret place of the Almighty is that Ark of Covenant. The mercy seat. And that is no one else but the Lord Jesus Christ. When we put our trust completely in the Lord Jesus, go before His presence, stay before His presence, All your problems, all your sickness, all your weakness, all your troubles, all that you're facing, you just take some time, not just some time. Give Him all the time. Whenever you find time, go before that presence and call upon Him. I believe He will answer you with thunder. Hallelujah. May God bless you all. I thank God for this wonderful time. And I thank God for this wonderful season of ministry which the Lord gave to me from March 5th, right? From March 5th. I'm out of my India. And I came here, went to Philippines. Then again came back here to Singapore. It was God's plan that I stay for a longer time. So, you know, I tried all my best to extend my visa in Philippines. Nothing worked out. I had to come here on the 12th. And God made me stay here with all of you. And it's been a real blessed time for me. And I hope that all of you have been blessed by the word, the ministration of the Spirit. It is the Spirit of the Lord, because God knows each and everyone's heart. And everybody, it's like, you know, it's like a fish. You know, when you go to the dam, sometimes we go to the dam, a lot of fish is there. We try to feed the fish. When you put some food inside, you know, the fish, which is very smart and quick, they come first and grab the food and go. But then we feed. So the little weaker ones come the second time. Then finally, you know, you put in all those weak ones which are inside, somehow they'll come, and everyone will receive the meal which is required for them. So I believe, so it has been a real blessed time. And maybe God's will, already they have invited me in August to Philippines. So if it is God's will, I may pass by here. Now we all have to pray according to God's will. So I also had a wonderful time. And I thank each and everyone who have really taken care of me like a brother. Brother Henry's family nearly treated me like son, and my wife as the daughter. You know, so that's how they have treated. So I thank God for this wonderful fellowship. And Brother Prasanna, I thank God for Lord making you a leader, soldier. And I believe in the coming days God will use you more. I praise and give you the strength. And Brother Zoel also is going to start his word ministering. And I believe that each and every one, all you young people who are playing the music, God will use everyone. This church will grow. That is our desire. We'll be seeing more new people coming, being added to this church. Many will come, and God is going to rise up evangelists from this place. And God will do it in His own time. So thank you for everything, and blessed be the name of the Lord. We want to just finish it with one special song. The sister, my wife, wants to sing.
Wherever we are.
all stand up? Maybe Jesus will come and take us all home soon, and we are all waiting for it. Hallelujah. Just sing this chorus.
Next time we meet, there'll be no more tears. Next time we share the bread and the wine. Maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, we will be home. Next time.
One more time. Jesus, blessed Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and time. I give you all the praise and glory for this wonderful missionary journey that you gave me, O Father. Amen. Oh God, you planned everything so well, and it was all under your control, O Father. And you took me to Philippines, to Singapore, stayed with brethren, sat with them, ate with them, understood their culture, the problems. And Lord, you have made me one with these people, O Father. So in the coming days that we all will join together and work together for the glory of your kingdom, O Father. I pray in Jesus' name that you may bless all the leaders from Brother Preston, now Brother Paul, Brother Henry, Brother Rolly, and rest of all the brothers and sisters who are part of this church, that they will stand, O God, and with one voice, Lord, take this truth, O God. You will bring revival in the hearts of the people, so that revival will spread around to the place, O God. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your mercy. I ask you to bless Brother Zoel. I ask you to bless the rest of all the people of Father, each and every one. I may miss some names, but Lord, you have all the names, O Father. You who call the stars by name, O God, you are not in danger of forgetting our names. So we know, O Father Jesus, whatever is the need of these people, all the spiritual needs, everything, you may meet it, O Father. And bring, make them soldiers for Christ. Strong leaders, O God, through whom the light will shine in this dark world. Thank you for your grace and mercy, for giving me all the grace and made me part of this place. And Lord, thank you, Lord, for all the love that you showed. All the love that we did not get from our family, friends. And oh Lord, we have been separated from my family. You showed me the family of Christ, oh Lord. And fill my heart with so much of love. Thank you for everything. And until we meet, O God, let your grace and mercy be with us, O Father. Thank you for everything. In Jesus' precious name, I ask this prayer. Amen. 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 God bless you all.